Thank you, Rachel, Leslie, for just blessing our hearts. Amen. Now I got to do my part. And my part is not to sing, but to preach. And we're going to continue from where we stopped last Sunday, right? So, as we prepared our hearts to go back to the book of Romans chapter 14, where Paul kind of laid down the rules, I would say, that centers around love. Because nothing we can do without love. I can say I love God. My mic is not on. I can say I love God and I don't love my neighbor, right? Thank you, Andrea. I can say I love God and the person next door, I don't love them. So Paul kind of nailed it down for us. And as we go forward today, we want to look at those things that kind of cause us, even as Christians, we serve as stumbling blocks to each other. We serve as obstacles because of our opinions and our beliefs. But before we do that, let us just look to the Lord in prayer. Spirit of the living God, we ask that you just speak your word now. Come and be glorified, and let all that we say be yours and not ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So fast track, we're going to skip, continue. This is part two of our message we're going through. So last Sunday we talked about liberty in Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. And there are a couple of things that Paul mentioned verse 1 to 4. And we're going to just do a little summary of that and then go to the next step. But as we read those few verses, it kind of centers around, how do we accept each other? Do we accept each other based on what the person say, what the person believe, or what I believe and what I don't believe? And as Christians, it shouldn't be on those merits. It should be, we should try to avoid division based on our opinions, based on our beliefs. Because guess what? Paul talks about it. He said we are all accountable to who? God. So whatever we do, in our verse last, there are two things Paul talked about. He talked about the strong and he talked about the weak. Now, the strong have this idea that, hey, as a strong believer, I have freedom in Christ. I have liberty. I have been redeemed. I have been saved through the precious blood of Jesus. So I have liberty. I can do what I want to do in Christ, according to Christ. But a week, they were so restricted on what kind of food to eat. If you are allowed to eat meat, or they don't eat meat because of certain rituals that were performed. Now, we talk about these weak ones that they were Gentiles who got saved. And they used to offer idols, sacrifice to idols. And what do they offer? Meat and all the stuff. So being converted to Christianity, they said, no, we don't eat meat anymore. But how can these other folks eat meat? So there was a judgment. Paul said, no, stop it. Whether you were strong in the faith, whether you weak in the faith, guess what? God accepts each one just as they are. Stop judging the weak. Stop judging the strong. Stop it. Who is the judge? God is the ultimate judge. He decides, not us. Don't we kind of judge each other sometimes? We do that in a heartbeat. And Paul said, who are you to judge? Who gave you the right to judge your brother? And we'll look at that later on, going down in our passage. So
So he says, stop the judging of each other. Instead, embrace each other. Love each other. That love exceeds your opinion. God is not interested in your opinion. God is not interested in what you think, whether it's wrong. As a matter of fact, God told, he said, there is nothing in the Bible that he said is unclean. Nothing is unclean. All that he, God created everything. Why would you say it's unclean? Why would you say, I can't eat this, I can't eat that? No, God created everything. And if he created anything, why should I abstain from everything? But you know, sometimes because of diverse background and other things, people hold on to certain rules and celebrate certain holidays. Now, if that's the case, guess what? We shouldn't be celebrating Christmas, because there is nowhere in the Bible where it says December 25th is Christmas Day. Right? I stand corrected. But because the motives of us celebrating Christmas is to honor Christ, right? It's to honor God. And so, it's not a problem. God doesn't have a problem with that. We shouldn't have a problem. This next person said, oh, no, it's not. At the end of the day, it's God who is glorified in our celebration. Amen. And that's why Paul said, so whatever you do, stop. Don't serve as a stumbling block to each other. Amen? And he hit it so hard. He said, despite of the weak, hey, they are not answerable to you. They are answerable to God. Because it's God, they're going to stand before the day of judgment. They're not going to stand before you. We're not going to stand before each other and judge you. It's God who's going to determine. It's God who's going to decide. So why should we judge each other? And today we're going to look at the next thing, what Paul says there. He hits it to, concerning his point, he said, about loving one another. Loving one another. So, we're going to look at love for others. Why is it important? We want to look at the perspective of acceptance. We're going to look at priority. Prioritizing Christ over rules. Don't we do that? We take certain things and instead of, as a church, sometimes we battle over things that doesn't even matter. We argue over things that doesn't even matter. Is it Christ concerned? Is it Christ-like? No. Instead, we should be promoting unity among us as believers, pursuing peace in this agreement. So let us look at that quickly. First, from Romans chapter 14, verse 5 to 6, Paul says, he said, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. And he said, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So what is Paul saying here? He said, as a matter of fact, Paul is, we talk about those things in verse 1. Now Paul is looking at those things that are not essential, that doesn't matter. Where in the Bible that there is not giving any specific or command concerning or clear teaching concerning the things. But he said, this thing doesn't matter. It doesn't affect how we live your life as Christian. Whether you eat meat, whether you dislike meat, whether you celebrate certain holidays, it doesn't matter. But the key thing here is each person should be convinced in how he does or what he does. Because at the end of the day, you are accountable to God. You're not accountable to no other person, but you are accountable to God. So whatever you do, think about God first. Is it in line with God? Does God appreciate, is God going to like me for what I'm doing? Is God going to be glorified in my action? That's the first thing should come to your mind. And that's why he said, let each person be fully convinced in his own mind. Though non-essential matters, guess what? They do not affect one's salvation. Whether you eat meat, it doesn't affect your salvation, because when you sit, Christ accepts you just as you are. Eating meat doesn't make you to sin. So Pastor Gary said last week, the jollof rice, there will be no meat. Meat should be in our jollof rice. But the bottom line here is that whatever you do, think Is it in line with God? Is God pleased with my actions? My intent, is God, is it acceptable unto God? And look at verse 6. He said, he who observed the day, observed it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. But he who eats, eats to the Lord. For he gave what? Thanks. He gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, does not eat and give God thanks. So what is Paul saying here in these few verses? And you look at that, there are reoccurring phrases like, for the Lord, to the Lord, to the Lord. In verse 6, they said, to the Lord. And he went on to say, to the Lord, to the Lord. And then he said, give thanks to God, or give God thanks. So at the end of the day, what is he saying? What are you doing like this? What are you doing if those who eat meat, when they pray, who do they pray to? God. And those who don't eat meat, when they pray, who do they pray to? God. So why should we wrestle about who is doing the best and who's wrong and who's right? No. Hey, if we decide, we say we're going to change the carpet in the church, and some people say, let's change it to red. Others say, no, blue. Or let's do this. At the end, who are we honoring? Who sanctuary we beautifying? It's God's sanctuary. It's not Pastor Gary. It's not me. It's not a deacon Paul. It's no other person, but it's God. So that's what Paul said. When you give thanks, you give thanks to God. You thank God for the food you eat. You thank God for the meat. When you celebrate our day, you honor God. So why should we quarrel about that? Why should we argue about that? Amen? Because at the end of the day, your motive is crucial. Do what you do for the Lord. Don't do it because the next person is doing it. Don't do it because you want to please your fellow man. But do what God wants you to do. Amen? Prioritizing Christ over rules. And sometimes we forget about who we are in verse 7 to 9. Paul talks about who we are, and we forget about what the scripture says, and we bring in our opinion and say, no, this is what it should be. This is how it should be. When it's not even mentioned in the scripture. So Paul said in verse 7, he said, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, who do we live for? He said, we live for the Lord. And if we die, who do we die to? Now, Paul is not talking to, in here, he's not speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking directly to born-again believers. So he said, if we die as believers, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are what? The Lord's. And he went further in verse 9, he said, for to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the who? The dead and the living. Verse 10 says, but why do you judge your brother? If I die to the Lord, if I live for the Lord, and my brother died for the Lord, he lived for the Lord, why should I judge him? When we doing the same thing, the same, having the same motive, but doing it in different ways, to God, at the end, it's God who's going to be glorified. So why should I judge? He said in verse 10, he said, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God, of Christ. Why do we judge? Now, that's something, like I said earlier, we do that every time. And as we look at it, the first thing should come to our mind. Who should we follow as an example? Jesus Christ. So instead of arguing or disliking the next person for who they are and what they do, our priority, think about Christ first. Think about what he did for us. He didn't consider himself equal to God. We're going to talk about that later. He didn't consider himself equal to God. Even while he was here, he considered himself as a servant. And if Christ, who served as an example for us, then why he made that sacrificial love? And that's the point. We ought to make that sacrificial love for each other, to love each other despite our belief, despite of our opinion. It should not separate us. It should not have a different mindset of the next person. But we should what? Love one another. And Paul says that, even before we go there, he said, rather than living to please ourselves, as we did before we met Christ, now we live for him every day. And guess what? We ought to honor him, because why? In the book of Psalms, chapter 139, the psalmist says, he numbers our days. Right? So if Christ number our day, God number our days, who we ought to live for? Who we ought to serve? Honor him and not allow division. Not allow things that doesn't matter. Now, if you look in there, Paul did not come to say, oh, the weak is wrong, the strong is weak, correct. He did not come to set judgment. He just came and make it plain. He said, the bottom line is, you all have the same motive. You all have the same desire to pleasing God. So do it and honor God instead of judging each other. Amen? Amen. Look at verse 10 to 13. It talks about us promoting unity among believers. He says that. He said, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment. He said, verse 11, he said, as for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Each of us. And he said we'll give account to each other, but we're going to give account to God. So if we are to give account, he said, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. And sometimes we do that, and we don't realize that we're serving as a stumbling block to each other. Sometimes we say things, we don't realize that it's hurting the next person. Sometimes we think negative of that person and don't realize it's hurting that next person. Our action sometimes doesn't know, we don't know that it's stopping that person, because they say, oh, if this man is a Christian and he's doing this, if this lady is a Christian and doing this, they stay away. And Paul said, no, because at the end of the day, God is going to judge us. Guess what? God is not going to judge us because of our sin. No, because Christ took care of it a long time ago on the cross, right? But God is going to judge us based on our works. If my works serve as an obstacle to my brother, God is going to judge me on that. If your works serve as a stumbling block, if self pride will serve as a stumbling block to my brother, God is going to judge me because I did not do the work he urged me to have done. And that's why Paul says, not to put a stumbling block or cause a brother in to fall. Instead, we should love one another. Now, here's the thing. And you would say, oh, when we look at God being a sovereign God, as believers, we want to glorify him in our day, in everything we do. But here's the point Paul comes down to as we think about not serving as a stumbling block. Think for a moment and say, can I go to a movie that contains profanity, words, and cuss words, and all the things in there, though, that doesn't remember? Can I go there? And the answer here is that, can I go to that movie for the glory of God? Now, you don't got to come to me as pastor or come to Pastor Gary or the deacon and ask, is it appropriate to go? No, don't come to us. Think within yourself. Is it for the glory of God? You judge yourself. Think about it. Is God going to be honored for me being there? Is he going to glorify God? Or what kind of music should I listen to? When you go to Pastor Anselm and hear his music in the house, and say, what is that kind of music Pastor Anselm listening to? Music that people will be afraid and curse word and all the lyrics and uses. Is that a pastor music? Is he listening to that kind of music? Think about it. When you play that music, are you glorifying God? Is it going to be honoring to God? Those are things we want to understand. That whatever you do, don't think about the next person. Think about God first. Because is God going to judge you? And those things you are doing, is it going to serve as a stumbling block to your brother? Is it going to serve as a stumbling block to your sister? What do I do with my free time? Do I spend 24 hours on social media and not take time to read my Bible? Is it pleasing to God? Because guess what? We did stewardship a couple of months ago, this year, right? We talked about stewardship last year. We talked about stewardship of time. Sometimes we don't use our time for God. And who gave us time? No one yet generates time. No one yet creates time. God creates time. And God gave us the life, the opportunity to use time. But sometimes we misuse time and not honor God even in the time that he's given us. So think about that. The entire day, all the time that I spent today, what time was there for God? What time did I honor God? What time in my day did I turn to God? So those are things you ought to think. How should I spend my free time? Apply all these things to yourself and think, is God, all these things that I'm doing, is it honoring to God? So don't call us and say, I have this question about doing such and such a thing. Do you think? No. First of all, check the scripture. If it is scripture, thumbs up. But if it's not in the scripture, think about it first before you go ahead and doing it. Amen? And that's why Paul was saying, all these things, holidays, food, animals, and all these things, at the end of the day, is it honoring to God? If it is honoring to God, forget it. Go ahead and serve God, because it's God who going to judge you. You are accountable to God. You're not accountable to the next person that are going to judge you. Amen? Amen? And he talked about promote unity among each other. And this is where he kind of stretched out that our job is not to judge each other. Our job is to live the light in reality that God will be glorified. And why does Paul, he Paul want us to remember that we should not waste our time judging each other. We should not waste our time talking about this person, their spiritual growth, this person, whether they're on our level. No! What instead we need to do is make sure that we ourselves, we are living right for God. Am I living right for God before judging the next brother or the next sister? That's the first thing I need to consider. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to 5, I don't know if I have it then. Oh no, I don't have it then. But I really say, Jesus said, why do you look for the specks of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And yours is so big that you cannot even see it, but you see in the next person's eye and tell the next person, oh, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you ought to do you, and not saying me. And Jesus said, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eyes, when all the time there is a plank in your own eyes? Search yourself first. Get it out of your own eyes before thinking about the next brother. You know, someone said, when you point your finger, four coming back to you, right? Three, one, two, three. It's coming back to you. So that means your situation triple more than the person you pointed to. So that means you got more things to think about than you think about the next person. And that's what Paul says, that think about yourself, your relationship to God. Avoid judgment. Recognize your shortcoming. Foster unity. Foster love. Build each other up. Encourage in spiritual growth. Promote peace and love among the believers. we need to examine our actions and on those questionable things that doesn't even matter. But at the end of the day, would I be able to stand before the Lord unashamed when he examined my motives? When he examined my thoughts on those issues, would I be able to stand before God? It doesn't matter what people say, right? The question is, what will God say about you? That's the most important. What will God say about you? Not what other people say. Because guess what? Other people have their own problem. They don't want to stand before God. But at the end of the day is, what is God going to say about you? That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 6, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of man. Can we have that mindset? And you know, whenever you talk to people one-on-one and say, hey, I can't be like Jesus Christ. Yeah, you can't be like Jesus Christ. And God knows you can't be like him. But he gives you the opportunity to strive toward perfection. And he gave you conscience. He gave you mind. He gave you heart to think and to know right from wrong. And you can't be like Jesus Christ, but you can't see the fire and put your hand in the fire. And you know it's going to burn you, right? So why not do the right thing? Because sometimes you know the right thing you are doing. You know the wrong you are doing. And that's why Paul said, let this mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus also. Pursue this agreement among believers. And as we look at love for others, let us look at the limitation of liberty, because we've been redeemed. We now have freedom. Every child of God, every born-again Christian, you have liberty. You have freedom in Christ, right? But because you are free, does it mean you will stumble, you cause others to stumble in your freedom, in your liberty? Are you going to use your liberty because you are free? Guess what? The next person, you know, someone has, they have this saying, say, where your right ends, the next man rights begin, right? I don't know who made that, but if you think you have all the right, guess what? The next person also have the right to. So you have freedom. You have that liberty in Christ. Guess what? The next person also who saved have liberty. They have freedom in Christ. But there is limitation when it comes to exercising your liberty in Christ. And we're going to look at the principle of liberty. We're going to look at the practice of liberty and the preservation of liberty. Let's go there quickly. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 14 to 15. Paul says that, he said, I know, I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, that's your liberty. That's your freedom to think that it is unclean, right? Maybe those Gentiles who got converted to Christianity, and now they don't want to eat animal because if they feel that it's unclean, Paul said, for them, fine. Don't stop over there and say, oh, no, it's wrong. Even though the Bible said it's not unclean. So he said, but to him who consider anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But he said, yet for your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Now, here's the problem. If that which is unclean or whether it's clean or not, and it's going to hurt your brother, Paul said, you are not walking in love. Whatever you're going to do that is going to hurt that person, even though you have that liberty in Christ, you are born again, you saved, you have that freedom, but if whatever you're going to do is going to hurt that brother, then you are not walking in love. That confusing, right? So what he's saying here is that if your brother is going to be grieved because, now for instance, If you want to take in alcohol, because Paul said take in for little for the stomach's sake, yeah. But if you're going to take in more and become a drunkard, guess what? That's the problem. You're sinning against God because you're destroying. Now you're serving as a hindrance to the next person because what? The next person sees you as a drunkard. You're serving as a stopping block. So he said, do not destroy with your food or whatever for one for whom Christ died. If drinking is going to affect your brother, stop drinking. Oh, only if you say amen.
Amen.
If whatever you do is going to hurt your brother, Paul said, stop it. For the sake of what? Love. If talking about the next person is going to hurt him, stop it. Love the person. Whatever you are doing that's going to hurt the next person, Paul said, stop it. Because guess what? Christ died for that person just as he died for you. So whatever you're going to do that's going to serve as a stomping block, stop it. This microphone keeps falling off. Probably my head is too big or too small. I don't know. So what Paul is saying, he said, freedom in Christ versus legalism. We kind of take things and be legal about so many things that, oh, it has to be this, strictly this. Yes, good. But what's up with my freedom in Christ? Your freedom in Christ should not your legalism should not overcome the next person's freedom in Christ, the liberty Christ has given them. Vice versa, the liberty you have, the freedom you have, do not let your legalism overcome or serve as a stumbling block to the next person. At the end of the day, love is the guiding principle. Love is everything. Because Jesus said, greater love has no man than for a man to lay down his life for a friend. That's why he said. So at the end of the day, all Paul is saying, let love prevail instead of anger, instead of hatred. The practice of liberty, he said, in verse 16 to 9, he said, therefore, do not let your good be spoken as evil. Now, like we said earlier, sometimes the intention is good, but the presentation may turn everything like a stumbling block to the person. He said, for the kingdom of God is not what? Oh, only a few persons say that. Let me look at my time. Oh, still more, we'll have more time. For the kingdom of God is what? It's not eating, it's not drinking, but what? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So whether you don't like this, whether you like that, or whether you practice this, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, the kingdom of God is not about food, it's not about drink, it's not about your opinion, it's not about your desire. It's about who? Christ. It's about righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, there should be peace. There should be joy. There should be happiness among believers. And look in verse 18. He said, for he who serves Christ in these things is what? Acceptable to God and approved by men. If you serve Christ in these things, is that your desire? Opinion is not a desire. And you have the back of your mind that you are serving the kingdom of God and not men. It says, hey, Christ in this thing is acceptable to God. Whether you eat meat, but you, at the end of the day, you honor God, you serve God, it's acceptable to God. It's dumb. At the end of the day, death, love prevail. And look at verse 19, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things that make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. So whatever we do, whatever we do, we strive toward peace. Whatever we do, we strive toward love. Whatever we do, we strive towards unity. My liberty in Christ, my freedom in Christ, at the end of the day, is to promote the kingdom of God. Your liberty in Christ, your freedom in Christ, at the end of the day, is to promote the kingdom of God. It's not to bring the next person down. It's not to serve as a stumbling block, but to promote the kingdom of God. Exercising liberty, why he said, God, he said, the impact of our actions on others is important as we exercise our liberty, as we exercise our freedom. How am I, my action, how is it going to impact the next person? How is it going to affect the next person? So this is what we need to balance our personal freedom with others. They also have their personal freedom. Balance said that it won't serve my freedom, my liberty will not cause others to stumble, but rather promote love. And the example is Jesus Christ, church. We should prioritize righteousness, peace, joy. Follow Christ's example of selflessness. Christ selfless. He practiced selflessness. And if he can do that, we also. But you know, in our Liberian culture book, we say, among my mother's children, I love myself the best. When I eat, I forget about the rest. No, it shouldn't be I love myself. I should love others more than me. I shouldn't love myself. I shouldn't put me first. I shouldn't put I first. I should put others first. Because when I put others first, God is glorified. You know, back in Liberia, when we used to go for camp, we have this organization in the church called Royal Ambassador, a team ticket from 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassador for Christ. So we used to go for camp, and when we go for camp, all the counselors, the leaders, would not eat first. Everyone would eat, the leaders would be last. So this day, they had a camp, and they prepared the food. Unfortunately, when everybody ate, there was no soup for the leaders. So the leaders were angry. Why they didn't have food for them? So we called each other disciples and said, well, you got to love us first. When you take care of us, God going to take care of you. And he said, but God ain't bringing manna right now down. I'm going to sleep hungry. But at the end of the day, what matters, not to put me first, but to be able to serve others first. Because imagine if Christ had think about himself first. Would he have come down to sacrifice himself for us? No. He put us first. He put us first in everything so that he can reconcile us back by even giving himself, giving his life to Christ. On the cross for us. And that's what we need to do. Do not destroy the work for food's sake. I read that already. I'll go to verse 21 and say, it is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. And he says, happily is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So whatever is not in line with your faith and in line with God, you're doing it according to your own will. And God is going to hold you responsible for that. But if it's in line, he said, happily is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Because it's in line with God. God approves you because whatever you do is in according to the scripture and is according to your faith in God. But if it's not in according to your faith, then you are doing the wrong thing. So the godly person said, recognize the dangers of judgment. Recognize that whatever I do, I'm accountable to God first. God is going to hold me responsible. And encourage faith and personal conviction in Christ. Because at the end of the day, we are accountable to him. Not to the next brother, not to the next sister, but to him. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 30. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But to love, do what? Serve one another. We all have liberty in Christ. But our liberty should not be for the flesh, for our own desire. But he said, but true love, what? Serve one another. Now, as we come to a close, these are things I want us to understand and remember. A life that is marked by acceptance and love. It's a life that love without boundaries. Whether you don't accept that person's belief, you don't accept that person's background or where they came from or who they are, it's none of your business. That's not love. Love has no limit. Because if love has limit, Christ would not have gone on the cross for us. Because he says that the greatest love is for a man to lay down his life for another person, right? So, beside that, there is no other boundaries that can say that you say, oh, beside death, there is no. No, death is the greatest one. So, at the end of the day, we should love without bounds. We should love no matter the cost. He loved us that it cost his life. God loved us that it cost him to give his only son. God loved us that he was willing to sacrifice everything for our sake to bring us back to him. That's the love. And here's the next thing as we focus on that. Focus on the kingdom of God. Am I working towards the kingdom of God? What am I doing? Is it pleasing to God? Is it honoring God? Is it glorifying God? Is God going to be pleased with what I am doing? Is it going to serve as an obstacle? Is it going to serve as a stumbling block? So focus on the kingdom of God. And not only that, be mindful of others' conscience. Think about others before you do anything. Before you judge that person, before you say anything about, think about how you're going to affect that person. Think about how that person is going to feel. And avoid action that causes others to stumble. Avoid everything. If you have to do it in your secret closet, go ahead and do it in your secret closet because it's God who sees you. But don't do it to cause the next brother or the next sister to stumble. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't judge a person based on your opinion, what you think. No. Because if God was judging us on our opinion, we will have no access to heaven. If God is judging us based on what we do daily, we won't be here. You know, someone said, thank God for grace. Thank God for grace because in the Old Testament, there was no grace. There was no grace. There was action. If you sin, you bear the consequences. You either die, God destroy you right away. But we thank God for grace through Jesus Christ. And if he gave us grace, why can't we extend grace to our brother instead of being a stumbling block? Why can't we love one another instead of bringing the next person down? Our opinions standing in the way of another person. Because God is not interested in our opinions. God is not interested in those non-essential things that is not even in the scripture. But what matters is the kingdom of God. We should work towards it, loving one another, caring for one another, and displaying the example that Jesus Christ displayed when he came on earth and died for us. And give us that relationship back. Restore that relationship back with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we will understand, Lord, that even as we have freedom, we have liberty in you. we will recognize each other and love each other no matter what the situation. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The praise team is going to come and lead us into
stand and join us as we sing, "Praise You." Let our lives praise the Lord.
This day, think about that. Whatever you do, it's implicit to God first. Is my intention going to hurt my brother? Is God going to be glorified in what I do? Because if God is not glorified in what you do, think about it. Because you owe it to him. You're going to give account to him. You're not going to give account to the next person. That's Gary going to close us in.
Just want to encourage you. Remember, we have our parent meeting back in the gym. Everyone's invited. We have some food, and we'll have a chance to just grow together, Lord willing, as we do that. And, you know, as we stop and think about this song, by the way, if you're a visitor, please, Jonathan is there in the back. We have a little gift to commemorate your visit. We'd love to give you that and bless you today. But you know what? As we get ready to leave this morning, that song, by the way, and maybe you could put the last stanza up there on the screen. It says, let my life, O Lord, praise you. Right? That's our prayer this morning. Let's just unite our hearts. Dear God, let our lives praise you this week as we leave this place. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.